He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning, everyone. This is the July 31st live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And we're also joined by our bond portfolio manager, Paul Carlson. Good morning, Paul.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are things going?
Well, very good. Very good.
Yeah, what a week, huh? It's been a pretty busy earnings week. Also a busy earning week for Best Stocks Now. Bill's been highlighting those over the week. Today culminating, yesterday evening after the close, culminating with some big tech names reporting yesterday, likes of Amazon, Apple, Google.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Look at the indices. You've got the S&P up 8.75%, or the quarter of 1%. You've got the Dow up 53 points, NASDAQ up 119, or 1.1%. We've also got the crude oil up 37 cents at 40.29. And look at gold again, 1994, up 27.70.
Wow.
Silver up $1, and the euro kind of unchanged. And the all-important 10-year, 0.536, down 5 basis points.
Yeah, some, obviously yesterday we had some earnings news or some GDP news from contraction from the U.S. and also got some numbers from the Eurozone that we'll highlight in a moment.
Yes.
Interesting, when you're looking at the futures, the, big difference, obviously, between the Dow and the NASDAQ, a lot of that being...
Again.
A lot of that being driven by the blowout quarters, for these big tech names, and they're all kind of they overlap in some businesses, but they all have kind of a broad swath of the of the tech market. I mean, you have Amazon retail side, storage from a data standpoint. I mean, they're all over the map in terms of where they're what business units they're in. Apple, same thing. Their devices, Google. I mean, they're all over the map. Search, ads,
right.
And Facebook, right. And social media. So we could pretty much get a broad, really a broad brushstroke of the tech sector yesterday after the close. So we'll certainly gonna hit on that. The NASDAQ and the Dow, they're what almost looks like a percent difference in the futures today. And
big difference.
Big point is that small cap Russell 2000. We haven't been very big on the small cap space in general. Certainly not the index, but they're down 51 basis points this morning. So that's it's a 1.75 difference between. Small cap space and the NASDAQ. So you can see where, higher market capitalization just those tech companies are just, they're the growers in this market. And they're also, some that are a little bit more positively correlated to bad COVID news.
Right. Good point.
Yep. And so, I guess what we'll kind of recap, we left you last Friday. AMD was breaking out, was taken off on the news of Intel's delay with their 7nm process. They got hammered. AMD went the other way. Of course, this week that was followed up on Tuesday after the close. AMD had another blowout quarter. Shares took off again. I think they closed.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they closed at 59.57 on Thursday. They're now, they're set to open today, I think, above 79. So it's about a 33% move in a week in our largest holding here at Gunderson.
Stunning.
So it's pretty amazing. And, you know, later on we'll kind of talk about also, you know, what makes a blowout earnings announcement, right? We see these big moves, these big bumps, you know, in pre-market movements of the stock, you know, leads to large breakouts, you know, in certain instances. And we'll kind of discuss kind of what makes up a good earnings quarter in the second segment. But yeah, I mean, you know, kind of just to recap earnings. I mean, you know,
stocks follow earnings. Yeah.
Yep. That's the, you know, that's the adage. That's what the, you know, that's what Bill, preaches. And, you know, it's true.
Rightly so.
Yep. And, you know, with Amazon, Apple and Facebook all up, over 6%, I think one or two of them up over 7 in the pre-market, that kind of shows you, you know, just what growth and kind of, you know, good quarters and good expectations will do for you. So,
and that's what the Best Stocks Now app identifies, is those companies that have that growth and ranks, and that's how we're able to select those. So it's a good tool.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's certainly working out, you know, working out from a the tech bent that we have, you know, essentially in all of our portfolios. You know, just to give you an update, just you know, around the globe, Japan was down about 2.8% on the day. That's a pretty big move for them. Hong Kong, you know, everything else looks like Hong Kong was down about 0.5%. China's up slightly, about 71 basis points. India was down, so a little bit, you know, mixed bag in Asia.
Globally. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Europe's kind of staying steady. I'm sure they're probably helped by some of the earnings news here, but you know, they also had you know, an announcement in terms of their, you know, them contracting in terms of their you know, economic activity in the area. I think they came in down about 12% from a quarter over quarter GDP basis, and you know, year over
for the Eurozone.
Yes, and year over year down about 15%, and you know, that obviously, you know, kind of goes, you know, United States, what, we were down almost 33%, that was announced yesterday, contraction, year over year GDP is down, you know, 9.5%, most of that, you know, I mean, to me, a lot of that, you know, the percentages are, you know, the percentages sound large, you know, whenever you close the, you know, a majority of your economy for, you know, for a month, you know, kind of what you would expect to happen, right?
Yeah,
you know, pretty much
for, sure.
For a full month, and we're down about 33% quarter over quarter. So, that kind of makes sense to me. Let's see. In terms of the Eurozone, I mean, I was going through a few of the countries too. You know, your larger ones, Italy, obviously. You know, spanked. They were one of the first in the Eurozone, you know, to be affected, you know, significantly with coronavirus.
Right.
You know, France, you know, contracted at a record pace. You know, I think the point of this is, you know, essentially the world's all kind of in the same boat in terms of, you know, economic activity, which is, you know, why I think global interest rates, and you can talk a little bit better this, will, you know, are low now, and likely will stay low for a while, just because when you're looking around the globe, there's really no reason to raise, because, you know, everyone in terms of their neutral rate is pretty much at record lows for most of those areas.
Right, we're right around, you know, somewhere between, you know, negative, you know, and like 1% around the globe.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, I think in a, you know, thankfully an environment, everyone's in the same boat where, you know, you're the market will allow low rates for an extended period of time, because there's really no other option there.
Correct. There's no alternative.
Yeah.
Unless we talk about precious metals, but that's another conversation we can have later.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's so many different factors, you know, affecting metals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where my textbook, you know, analyst says this, right, and that happens, and then gold or metals work in the opposite direction. I think it's because there's just so many different factors, you know, involved, whether it's, you know, storage cost, opportunity cost, with interest rates being low, you know, those costs are, you know, your opportunity costs are less because it's not going to pay any interest. But so those are, you know, I think those are all things that are helping boost, you know, gold. Certainly, you know, the inflation argument, you know, that particular argument's been going on for a while and really hasn't come to fruition.
Right.
You know, you would expect at some point it does, but, you know, when and where and what you're, you know, what you're passing up in terms of in terms of opportunity cost.
Yeah, like if you compare it to an Amazon investment or Apple or.
Right. Yep. Yep. So we'll get in. We'll get into those big earnings from the tech group here in the second quarter. Looking forward to it. We're Best Stocks Now Radio on a Friday. Take care. Good morning, everyone. This is Barry Kite, Paul Carlson, coming back with you on the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Paul, are you with us?
I am with you.
All right. Yeah, you're keeping an eye on. We're getting closer and closer to 11,000 on the Nasdaq here.
Yeah.
So
what a pre-market for us and for the Nasdaq. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, we're looking good at the firm in the pre-market too. So it's showing our exposure to that space. And a couple other quick notes. Let's see, we had there Qualcomm news. I know Bill featured it on the
was
the stock of the day yesterday. What a you know that was a big day for them. Some good announcements. And first, you know, on this day, you know, as Bill was mentioning and previewed yesterday, the big story is obviously the earnings reports from Amazon, Apple, Google, or Alphabet, if you will, and Facebook. So first, you know, kind of let's, you know, if you want to kind of get some ideas on, you know, what makes for a blowout earnings quarter. So, you know, three of them minus Google, you know, like I said, are up about 6-7%, you know, in the pre-market, and that's driven, you know, just really from a blowout earnings quarter. And so, you know, what does you know, when we're looking at earnings, right, and how that moves, how those move stocks, you know, we want to know, you know, what were the original
estimates, right? That are managed, if you will, over the quarter.
Yep, and so that's, you know, that's.
And then you have a whisper number usually, right? And then which is the rumor right before the announcement comes out. And if you know, if the company beats both of those, you know, on top line and bottom line of the income statement, then that would constitute a blowout, right?
Right, exactly. And so we're looking. You know, when we're looking here, you know, you've got a couple of numbers, right? We've got, you know, you're looking at previous, you know, previous quarterly earnings versus estimates, right? So that's, you know, that's kind of step one. So we, you know, we need to, you know, you need to beat on both of those numbers, right? And that's, you know, obviously that's backward looking. Those are earnings and revenues that have already been already in place. And as we know, you know, stocks are a collection of future expectations, and so. You know, to really differentiate yourself from an earnings announcement standpoint, right? We need new news to the analysis, and so, you know, some of those come in the form of, you know, new product announcements, right? Where they're, you know, they give us some idea. A lot of times they don't really quantify that into numbers. You know, that's kind of our job. A lot of times they'll give us some guidance, but, you know, new product announcements, obviously, you know, new partnerships
I was going to say partnership, right?
Yeah, or new, you know, joint ventures or just
joint
new.
Joint venture. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times, and we would think of that as, you know, a new customer. You know, they call that, you know, a new new partner. That's where, you know, if you have, for instance, a large company announces, you know, a partnership to store their data with CoreSight, for instance. You know, different those types of, you know, that, and that changes, you know, obviously our revenue expectations or and earning expectations
exactly.
going forward. So, essentially any new news that will, you know, help improve earnings estimates going forward. And or revenue estimates going forward. That's what's gonna, you know, that's what's really what we're gonna see these pops. And that's, you know, and that's given in the form of management guidance. So you'll see, and we read a lot of transcripts, you know, and putting articles, together for Seeking Alpha, and we're reading a lot of earnings transcripts just to make investments
better understand
and entry points. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times to determine if the story that we were, you know, we're already, you know, kind of invested in, if that story is continuing, if it has a material change, where if you, you know, sometimes we have an announcement of a, you know, significant CEO or CFO or COO leaving and joining another company. So a lot of times you get, you get those announcements in there. Most importantly, though, it's changes in increases, right, to management's expectations going forward.
I think it's important to stress that, you know, we go through these every day, just like Bill's going through the charts. We do as well, and we go through these earnings estimates. And that's how we stay on top of the, you know, portfolio to make sure we invest in the best, very best stocks.
Exactly. And truthfully, that was, that was our trouble. That was just trouble that the entire market had, last earnings season, right? We're in the middle of COVID. Most or if not all, earnings, management expectations and management guidance was, essentially, rescinded, by virtually every company. And then most who reported, last quarter, at least initially, didn't even give any guidance. They gave some guidance along the way eventually as uncertainty, some of the uncertainty and reopenings of economies around the globe. But those are important factors in kind of what we're looking at and where we're where we want to be. And we're always looking at, analyst, analyst raises, right, for, they increase their price target or they increase their expectations. So
they're usually behind the curve from us, but yeah, they do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And they're, certainly more short term looking in terms of, kind of what they're, some of their transactional business and institutional business. But for us, we have the benefit of putting together 5-year price targets. It takes a lot of the emotion out for us, versus the street, and we're managing long term money for clients, and so that's a little bit different than UBS changing a price target every month or so. But yeah, I don't know if we'll get them all in this segment, but
so
we'll
Google,
start with.
You want to go one by one?
We yeah.
Google, let's, quarter two, the GAAP earnings per share was $10.13. They beat by $1.94. And on the top line, revenue was $38.29 billion, which was down slightly year over year, but it beats the estimate by $950 million. So that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I think that's where, in terms of why this one didn't react, right? We'll start with this one and why this one didn't react as the other three have. And, I think it was that revenue number, is it the first down revenue that they've had ever? I was trying to
that very well could be. So, I'd have to research that, but it
yes.
could be.
So their shares are certainly not as good as the others, at least in the pre-market today. But we'll cover those. We'll cover Apple, Amazon, and Facebook in the third quarter. And this is Best Stocks Now Radio. We'll be
Stay
coming
with
back.
Us. Yeah, Barry, are you there?
Good morning, everyone. This is the July 31st live edition, Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And, Paul Carlson, and I'm Barry Kite filling in for Bill today. Hopefully, is getting an early jump start on the newsletter again this week.
It goes out tomorrow, and if you're interested in getting a copy, we have a free trial. You can go to GundersonCapital.com and sign up there for the newsletter, and you'll get a 2-week free trial.
Yep, and if you ever have any questions, please reach out to us.
Give us a call.
Yeah, 855-611-BEST, and that's 855-611-2378. Well, I guess we can go ahead and dive in. I guess we'll kind of finished up with Google.
About Google, right?
Yeah.
We don't own Alphabet because Bill noted, because the earnings are inconsistent, and I think that's what we saw in that report.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I mean – And the thing about, Google kind of, it's great company, but they kind of, I feel like they get a little schizophrenic here and there where, are we making self-driving cars? Or are we making what, Google Glass? We made phones. Sticking with the ad piece, great. But in search, they definitely had some things along the way that's kind of gotten their, maybe taken their attention away from their
core business. Yeah.
Right. And, and Amazon's very similar to a certain extent, minus the search piece and obviously some of the retail, but they've kind of innovated with products, Kindle, a few other items that have kind of more to me they've had more successes, I guess, along the way from
a
service
standpoint.
More in line
with their core business, right? Because if you think about they started out as a bookseller, well, then to go to a digital device to read books, that made perfect sense, right?
Yes, they haven't gone on. To me, Google goes off the reservation a lot, which I think makes their earnings inconsistent. Can lead to that from whether you're in R&D, whether you're taking a charge on. A product that didn't work out. Yeah, right. I think I ended up seeing one pair of Google Glass during all of that. Ramp up. I didn't look through them. I just saw them. That was it. Now I've got my blue light glasses, which help you look at our screens. To me, that's been more of a successful business than Google Glass. So, but
can we run through some of the other earnings?
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. So in regards, right? Apple. Alphabet. They beat the street. In terms of their great report by them. It's just comparatively, these other three have kind of certainly risen up, at least today, took some of their thunder.
So we also had Facebook as another one we don't own.
It's another
one. Their EPS beat by 40 cents, right? Beats on revenue and active users. The shares were up 5% in pre-market. The GAAP EPS was $1.80. It beat by 40 cents. Revenue, $18.69 billion, or up 10.7% year over year. That was a beat of $1.33 billion.
Yeah, and some of the one of the other kind of big news that I don't necessarily they're not necessarily putting into numbers yet is I think the FCC approved them to begin showing music videos. They were working with the three main music label makers. That's been approved. So here shortly, it's looking like Google will have. Music videos on their platform is something they haven't had, and something their competitor, Google has had via YouTube, for a while, and it's been very successful.
Yeah, I think you meant Facebook there. But yeah, so Facebook's a
big yeah. Facebook is going to be able to show the music videos, right? So and like I said, something that their competitor Google, owning YouTube, right, has been able to do for an extended period of time.
So let's talk about one that that we do own. It's a big position here. Charter Communications. They beat by $1.16, and they also beat on revenue. So you had revenues of $11.7 billion. That was a beat of $90 million. It was up 3.1% year over year. The GAAP EPS number was $3.63 a share, and that beat by $1.16. Real nice holding for us, and it's ranked 52 out of 5,298 in the app. We have a target of peg ratio is only 0.81, so it's still a great value. And 5-year total return potential in the app shows 98.2%. So,
yeah,
almost, no guarantee.
Almost
that's
double.
Good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and you know that's another stock that's benefited. When you're working from home, right? You need more broadband.
More broadband.
The entire family is home, right? And
mm-hmm.
Who knows how many devices? I think I counted close to 20 that were
you
that showed up on my internet on my internet a few days ago. TVs, all kinds of things that popped up. I wasn't sure, and I'm like, is that us? And I'm like, yes, that's the Samsung TV in the living room. Okay, so yeah, and let's see, who else we got? That was Nokia. We get Nokia, blast from the past, right? That Bill's been referencing a good bit on the show lately. Obviously, a 5G play. Yeah, they. They're up. They raised their guidance. That's another. They're up 10% on raising guidance. For the full year of 2020. So that, that goes to show you it's more or less about looking forward, versus just beating on a strong, earnings number last quarter. It's really what are we looking for? What are we looking for going forward?
Well, Nokia is up 10% today, almost $5 a share.
Yeah. I mean, they their revenue came in, actually lower, but their earnings per share, beat strongly for what they're looking for. Their free cash flow is up. I haven't followed Nokia closely in the last few years, but they actually had positive free cash flow, compared to, I think they had 265 million euros versus second quarter of last year they had a free cash flow of over -$1 billion. So quite a turnaround for
absolutely
quarter over quarter there. That'll help. Let's see. So we had Alphabet, we had Facebook, Charter Communications, certainly a big one for us. And something else I want to mention, given that blowout quarter for AMD on Tuesday after the close, we went ahead and updated. We got a new article published at Seeking Alpha for AMD that came out yesterday that Bill was working on. So it's a little refresher. I think the last time we wrote that one was in February 25th of 2020. So not the best timing of an article. Pretty much came out the worst time that you could release one. Still, amazingly, AMD is up, about 64% in the 157 days since that we released that one in February 25th. So it was due for.
So it was really kind of perfect timing.
Yeah, but if you think back at it, that was kind of in the middle of the first correction.
Right.
I call it the first 10%, right? Fastest one in history, and so. Since then, since the 25th, it's, AMD shares are up, over 64%. I think the market is,
nice call.
Up roughly a little over 4% maybe, during as the market being the S&P 500 during that time. So it's, certainly a differentiator for us here at, Gunderson Capital, also our, largest position. Do we want to get into Apple, Amazon? Maybe we could use Amazon as our stock of the day. Finish up on Apple and big thing. Put some notes together for put some notes from together for Apple earlier this year. And in doing so, I noticed that their wearables and services sectors of their of their financials has really been, picking up in terms of mix or percentage against iPhone.
Absolutely.
So you remember how the iPhone number was the number to know back in the day in terms of Apple, and that's really only less than 50% of their sales now. But we'll finish that one up, and we'll feature Amazon as our stock of the day. Coming back for the last quarter of the day and of the week. Welcome back to the fourth quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, and get your Prime membership, get your cart ready. We'll cover Amazon as our stock of the day here in this segment. Paul, how are we looking with the markets now that we're open? Have we gotten close to that 11,000?
Oh,
looks like
open.
We pulled back a bit.
Oh, on the NASDAQ? Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look like.
The Dow is down, which is no surprise. The NASDAQ is up, almost 1%. So another nice day.
Well, an interesting take, part of, talking about different announcements on at earnings calls is Apple will announce a 4-for-1 stock split. I wonder if that's going to make them, certainly I think it would make them eligible for the Dow. They can't be, are they in the Dow now? I believe their stock price is too high. It would mess the whole index up, but. I haven't seen any of that yet.
That's a good point.
I wonder if that'll make them a.
It's price weighted, rather than capitalization weighted. So
right,
you can't have a high. You can't put $1,000 stock in the Dow, right?
And mathematically, and we reference the Dow, but mathematically, it's been around, been around for years, but it's flawed from the standpoint of, that it's price weighted for shares. So you could have. Quick story. If you had, if the smallest stock in the Dow 30 happened to be, trading at say $1,000, regardless of total market cap, and everything else was trading much less than that, then any move in that stock that's $1,000, even though it's the smallest of the 30, would have an outsized weight or
impact,
outsized effect. Yep, on the index. So when we say it's flawed from a mathematical standpoint, that's what that's kind of what we're referring to there. Now they manage the index by not including your stocks with higher prices. So Amazon, for instance. Not going to be included in the Dow anytime soon. So, be interested to see how that's going to affect Apple and if the Dow will actually include them. It seems they would, given the stock split.
There's definitely some soggy stocks they could get rid of, like 3M and so forth.
Yeah, and just one note before I forget, and I'm not sure if Bill mentioned it yesterday. But the reason I'm saying this is because I met him. He's also part of Federal Reserve Bank for a period of time. Herman Cain passed away yesterday, and I actually heard it. Like I said, heard him speak at a big event.
I did too. That's funny.
Have you? Yeah.
At the College of Charleston.
Yeah. Well, he was. He was CEO of Godfather's Pizza, back in the day. And he's also very high up at Burger King in Pillsbury, and he actually came and spoke to a big group there. So just kind of wanted to get that in. Wish his family our condolences on that. As a public servant, regardless of your political affiliations. Let's jump into Amazon. Amazon, as we mentioned, there's
stock
somebody,
of the day.
Stock of the day. You know, since it's been out, it's probably been, you know, the stock of the market since it first IPO'd. You know, the story kind of going back just because they had a, you know, had a you know, record quarter, you know, which is saying a lot for them. And certainly given the backdrop of the environment and market we're in. But
well, let's go through the numbers real quick, right?
I mean, yeah. Hit the numbers and we'll add some color to them as we go.
Yeah, so the EPS, the earnings per share, would beat by $8.80. They also beat on revenue. What else do we have here?
Yeah.
AWS.
Well, and all, you know, all of this, all of these, you know, all of these numbers you got to remember are in, you know, in the backdrop of they, you know, they spent more than $4 billion on COVID related expenses in the quarter.
Good point.
You know, they a lot of the cost are, it's the largest portions of the cost are related to compensation for their frontline employees, you know, higher hourly wages, obviously through the end of May. That's, you know, encouraging people to, you know, work there and get, you know, during that, you know, during the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, they also gave more than $500 million thank you bonuses in June. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, like I said, I don't know the makeup of those bonuses. Who knows? The CEO could have got $400 million of that. I'm not sure. But I assume that, you know, but in terms of, you know, what they're doing for their employees, yes, you know, they've taken some heat in terms of, you know, in terms of infections, you know, at their warehouses and facilities. But, you know, I mean, I think we've kind of figured out everyone ended up having that issue. They just happened to be one of the first people reported because they were some of the only people working and getting us all of our goods in the quarter. You know, and that's and Amazon makes it, you know, they're, you know, when you look at the transcript, and that's why we kind of look at this is, you know, there's a lot of information that's not numbers based, you know, that's important. You know, essentially Amazon has created more jobs, by the way, over the last decade than any other company. That was,
right.
You know, that's something I didn't know, at least not off the top of my head. And, you know, they're hiring 175,000 new employees have been hired or are going to be hired to meet the, higher customer demands. For us. So that's, I mean, that's a pretty large number, pretty large.
Just traded, 3,200. I was just pulling up the chart.
Yeah.
Up and 4.5%. Yeah.
And that's a pretty, I mean, that's a large, you know, in nowadays,
such,
you know,
a large
after
company.
And after all the downsizing, right? And even for a tech company, right? We see them as a tech company, right? Usually your headcount at a tech company is going to be lower, but, you know, they're truly a blend between, you know, a tech company and even, you know, and essentially
a retailer.
Or even an old economy company, right? I mean, in terms of shipping, transportation, you know, was the old Dow Transports index, right? I mean, you know, you could also make an argument they should be there. But, you know, overall, you know, they keep proving, kind of showing what, you know, what our methodology and Best Stocks Now is all about. And, you know, if you have any questions, give us a call, 855-611-BEST. Paul and I'd be happy to, you know, happy to talk to you and ready to help you move forward. So I hope you guys, have a great weekend. Stay well, and look forward to talking with you on Monday, and we'll have Bill back.
Solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.